Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. I have a show and tell for you that I need to scoot over for. In fact, the scooting over is probably the show and tell. I have a folding chair. It's empty. That's the point. And I'm going to set it right there next to me. The purpose of the empty chair comes from a book on Christian hospitality. The book is titled Wide Welcome by Jessica Duckworth. And Jessica talks about the way that Christian hospitality is about waiting for the one who is to come. The one, the capital O, one, who is to come. It's like our communion liturgy usually says, we await Christ's coming in glory. Christian tradition teaches us to welcome every stranger as if we are welcoming Christ, and so we always expect his arrival. Jessica Duckworth suggests that anytime we gather in the church, and when we gather for meetings or classes or any other event, we always keep an empty chair, one empty chair for the one who is still to come. And if someone comes and they fill that chair, we get out another chair and make that the empty chair, waiting, always waiting for the one who is to come. Jesus is going to tell us some stories, perhaps some very familiar stories to you, about looking for someone, about expecting someone to arrive, and about rejoicing when they do arrive. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Gracious God, lead us along your way. Speak to us by your Spirit through these words of Scripture. Guide us, strengthen us, show us your face, and let us never stray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I sit here next to an empty chair, I recognize how many chairs are empty today. There are empty seats in Covenant's sanctuary where a year ago tomorrow we gathered for worship in person for the last time before we abruptly suspended in-person worship due to the pandemic. Empty chairs maybe in that nice dining room that you only use when you have guests over and you aren't having guests over right now. Those empty chairs that are sitting there like this one, waiting for people to return soon. And then, of course, there are some chairs that sit empty for people who won't return, not in this life. I honor that grief as well. We know that a gathering is not complete until everyone is there. Even when we know that everyone is doing well and off succeeding, having a wonderful time, celebrations are different when someone is absent. We know that. And we know, or at least imagine, the joy when everyone returns. Today's scripture reading gives us these three evocative stories. These stories that Jesus tells in quick succession as if to try to keep the details of the stories from obscuring the point that he's working on making. Jesus tells these stories about things that are lost. One sheep out of 100, one coin out of 10, one son out of 2. He tells these stories about things that are lost because he's talking to good religious people who are upset because Jesus is spending all of his time with people that we know better than to associate with. He's spending all of his time with co-conspirators in Roman oppression, or he's spending all of his time with sinners, not just sinners, but sinners, those people. And as good religious people, we know that, you know, you're judged by the company that you keep, and we know that you shouldn't spend too much time with people who are going to drag you down, whether morally or socially, if we're honest. Good religious people like us, we still work on putting ourselves in the right role. We develop these complicated theologies that find ways to count us as the lost sheep, count us as the prodigal, so that then we get to become God's favorite, the ones that God goes out of his way to find. We develop these theologies, I think, as a way of masking our resentment for sinners, the sinners that Jesus really came for. Only, these stories are not about what character we identify with. How are we supposed to identify with a coin that rolled off the counter and underneath the couch? These stories are not about us. These stories are about God. These are stories about God and her late-night lamp-lit search for each and all of us. These are stories about how God holds open an empty chair for us, just waiting for us to come home. How God holds open this empty chair for each of their children, waiting for the lost to return. Ultimately, these are stories not even about the ones who are lost. These are stories about celebration and joy, God's celebration and joy when we come home. Not because of anything we've done to deserve it, not despite anything that we haven't done to deserve it, but only because God's party is incomplete until everyone has arrived. Because God just desperately longs for us. In a few minutes, we will hear a moment for mission lifting up Dorothy's House, which serves survivors of human trafficking, exploitation, and prostitution. Just the sort of lost coins for whom God would light their lamp and search. The stories of human trafficking are complex and usually traumatic. They often include being rejected by family, which makes girls and women more vulnerable to human traffickers. Others have nowhere to go back to after that story plays out. But that story, just like these stories Jesus tells, that story is not about whether people deserve to belong somewhere. Rather, it's a story that begins when someone rejoices in them, when someone demonstrates that we are loved and supported and provides that loving, supportive place in which to belong. It's a story that begins and is about rejoicing. We know that rejoicing is complicated, particularly at this point in our community's life together. We know that belonging can be complicated. Our own stories can make it hard for us to rejoice with someone else. And we know that rejoicing together, that is what the kingdom of God looks like. That's what God's welcome looks like. In the bulletin today, there are some faith practices offered to you. Faith practices really that are specifically about rejoicing with someone else's joy. Listening to a story of why someone does not identify with a religious tradition that we identify with. That may be a story that begins with hurting with someone else's pain, but it becomes a story often that leads to rejoicing all over again. An invitation to give money away, which is all about finding our joy in someone else's joy. A faith practice about getting to know someone who doesn't have a place to call home, you'd be amazed how joyful that can be. These are practices, invitations to rejoice with someone else's joy. Maybe you just need to start there. When you see or hear about joy that you don't understand, forget about understanding and just rejoice in it. That's what these stories ultimately are about. These stories ultimately are about rejoicing with someone else's rejoicing. That's what God says. Come, celebrate with me, rejoice with me, because we belong together. I pray that we may have the grace and the compassion to rejoice with each other even when it's a challenge. I pray that we may continue to welcome each other to God's feast, rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our March Coins for Concern partner is Dorothy's House. We will hear from Dorothy's House in just a moment. Your Coins for Concern contributions support Dorothy's House directly. All you need to do is mark on a check or note on our electronic giving that you would like your gift to go to Coins for Concern.
I believe that we are all born with our purpose. I always thought that I had something to contribute to young girls because I had so many great mentors and guides in my own life growing up. And I decided to become a foster parent. And I felt like in that scenario, I could help people more. I might help fewer people, but I could help them more. It was during that time that I learned about the crime of sex trafficking. In the movies, you get your calling in a sunbeam of light. And in the real world, it takes experience and it takes process and it takes a lot of things to happen to sort of coalesce into this eventuality. As I started flipping homes, became a foster parent, became more educated about the issues, everything sort of started funneling towards what ultimately happened. But I walked into that house on October 13th of 2013, and I walked from the back door to the front of the house. Light is literally streaming in through the front doors, and at that moment, I knew we were going to call it Dorothy's House. Our program is about wrapping services and support, as well as unconditional love and strength-based reinforcement for them to chart their own path. The work in victim services is not about saving lives. It's about giving them the opportunities and the resources to save their own.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.